This is Let's Talk Business with your host, Mark Ebinger. Now, here's Mark.
Welcome to Let's Talk Business, a show that highlights and promotes entrepreneurs to learn more about their vision, goals, and marketing strategy. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about how tax professionals are misleading business owners. We'll also talk about properly structuring your LLC in Texas and when an LLC should consider transitioning to an S-Corp. In studio with us today is Adele and Richard Rodriguez, both tax and bookkeeping experts and the owners of Freedom Financial. Adele, welcome to the show.
Thank you, God, to be here.
And Rich, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Good to see you.
I like the way you have your hat turned around.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
Do you like golf? Do you play golf?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Isn't that like a golfer's hat? Is that the...
So this is in memory, in a way, of Payne Stewart. He used to wear it, of course, this way, right, when he plays golf, this way. With his knickers and everything. And for me right now, I just didn't want to cast a shadow on my face with the lighting.
Smart.
So I just went ahead and turned it around.
Yep, that's why I don't wear a hat during this thing. Of course, you can't really see my bald spot when we're here.
But anyway.
All right, I'm your host, Mark Ebinger, the owner of Krukus Virtual Staffing, a company that specializes in hiring virtual assistants from outside the United States.
And my name's Howie Nestel. I've been in marketing now for 30 years with a company called Sharkmatic Advertising. We help clients gain more exposure and influence through digital marketing. And now after 30 years and 1,500 clients, I'm starting to figure out this marketing thing.
Nice.
Love it. A quick reminder to follow the Let's Talk Business podcast on all the major podcast platforms and social media where you can catch video versions of the show. You can get to everything easily by visiting our website at satalkradio.com. Now, if you're going to be in the San Antonio area on Thursday, May 16th, be sure to join us at the next Let's Talk Business Mega Mixer. We're expecting at least 150 local business owners and entrepreneurs to be on site to mix, mingle, and connect with each other to do more business. Howie, who is our nonprofit that we're going to have at this one?
So every time we do a mixer, we have a nonprofit tie-in because we take the $10 that each of the entrepreneurs pays to be at the mixer, and we donate it to a local worthwhile charity. This time it's going to be Discovery Camps. It's a camp for kids with cancer that's been around for 40 years. They serve children in the local area, all the way from Austin down to the Rio Grande Valley and San Antonio surrounding areas, to have a sleepaway summer camp experience for a week. These are kids who are battling cancer or in remission. We have oncology doctors and nurses out at the camp, and it's a phenomenal week, 100% free to the families and the children.
Wow.
All made possible through contributions from people. If you want to know more about them, go to discoverycamps.org.
Excellent.
All right, and awesome. A quick shout-out, of course, our Let's Talk Business Mixer. We have sponsors. We have gold sponsors. We got a whole bunch of them this time. Love it. And I'm going to give a shout-out on the podcast to one every time we do a show as we're leading up to it. So a quick shout-out to Tone Homes Air Conditioning and Remodeling. They do air conditioning, interiors, and exteriors. Anything pretty much to do with the home that needs to be remodeled, Tone and his crew can take care of it. So if you want to be comfortable in your home, regardless of the weather outside, Tone Homes offers seasonal maintenance contracts as well as heating and air conditioning services when you need it. Contact Tone Homes to improve the air quality in your home. That's 210-520-9200. That's 210-520-9200 for Antonio Gonzalez, also known as Tone, over at Tone Homes Air Conditioning and Remodeling.
Residential and commercial, and they've done both work at my home and at my office, so highly recommend.
That's great. Yeah. Okay.
We had just a nightmare air conditioning at my house for many, many years, and we just thought, well, this is just the way it is because it's San Antonio and it's freaking hot out,
right?
Well, Tone came out, and he's like, no, Mark, you need to redo some stuff here. He cut in a return in the hallway in a perfect spot, and now it's like, wow, the humidity's gone in the house. It's completely different, so great job over there with the Tone and his crew.
Yep.
So, all right, guys. So, Adele, Rich, who wants to go first? I want to know about the background as you guys are kind of leading up to getting into the tax world and starting your own company. And then we'll just talk all kinds of stuff, all kinds of business, and we'll get some tax insight as well. So, who wants to pick it up first?
Sure, if I may.
Sure. Go ahead, Rich.
I'll go ahead and start out, of course, by giving you a little bit of history, right? So, Adele used to do taxes here in San Antonio just for family and friends, you know, nothing too serious, but. In her line of work, she was always in the accounting department. You know, numbers have been Adele's thing, right? I call her the numbers lady. Sometimes I'll remember your name. She'll remember your birthday. That's kind of weird, but kind of nice at the same time. So we ended up moving to Chicago in 2010. Well, Chicago, or Illinois rather, has a state tax, right? So when you file your federal return, you also file a state return, right? Well, Texas, we didn't have that. So, and she might even share a little bit about the story with you, but when we did our first year there, Adele was like, I can handle it. No big deal. Well, we ended up getting a letter from the Department of Revenue from Illinois. We ended up owing almost $2,000.
Right.
But it was something small, right? But it still frightened us in a way. And we're like, wait, we're new to this. But then we figured, what if other people are having the same problem? Because, you know, Chicago, third largest city in the country, a lot of people move there because of work. And so we decided, you know what? Let's do this and let's stick to the educational part because some people might not understand how it works. So then we teamed up with a gentleman who owned a couple of Liberty Tax offices. We ended up managing one of those. And for me, I told her, well, the situation we had with him was any new clients, they were our clients. That's kind of nice. Not even a 50-50 split. He was real nice to us, showed us the way, you know, to do taxes because he used to be an IRS auditor for like 10 or 12 years. So he showed us a lot of the ropes, showed her especially. Then I decided, you know what? Because I'm the marketer, kind of like Howie, mm-hmm. and I'm the color guy. So I go out there and I try to bring in more clients for her. So we decided when we ran his second office that we would start building our practice. Okay, and that's how it happened. So I ended up going first from full-time work to part-time so I could pay more attention to the office. Then little by little, I started convincing Adele, you know what? Need to leave corporate America. I mean, that's the whole reason why we moved up to Chicago. Right. She had a really good opportunity with Corona, the beer company.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so little by little, of course, then we moving back to San Antonio. Now, for sure, now we're full time because I said, you know, we've got a good thing going here. The only way the business is going to grow is if both of us are in it 100%. So, yes, we haven't always been. I mean, yes, husband and wife team, sure, because we're married. But in business, that's been very recent, probably in the last 5-6 years.
Right. Right. And then, you know, I'll take it a step further. I mean, we met at Citibank in 2002,
yeah.
right? And he was a stockbroker. I was in the same area, but in the supervisor position in Citigold. We dealt with high net worth back then at 250 and above. So that's how we met. We're a blended family. We have 4 girls together. We don't have any children together, but I have 1. He has 3. My 1 is his 3 combined.
Still to this day.
Right. So we've always had, obviously, we married for love. We did not marry for money. And
She says obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, I know.
Because, you know, we're not, you know. Anyhow, so we had a lot of debt, a lot of child support. So we've always had a side business since we met. And it's been progressed. We had moonwalks, tables and chairs, weddings and such, you know, just to pay for the extra bills to get out of debt. Moving up to Chicago was a blessing for us because he took a back seat and I was able to manage a team. Did supply chain, Dallas, Mexico, California. So we did a lot of that. I was an operations manager for Corona. And then doing the part-time business with taxes and bookkeeping.
Right.
So end result, our children graduated from high school, were going to college. They all came back home in Texas. In 2020, we did the same. He's been asking me for years to quit, and I did about a year and a half ago. We had plenty in reserves to do what we needed to do, so we opened up an office. We did what we needed to do. Things were going. He's the dreamer. I'm the realist, bottom line. He'll ask for something. I'm like, wait a minute. Because he's the marketing guy, the sales guy.
Oh,
he's out there. Oh, here's your
They're
client.
They're nuts, those marketing
guys. We are.
Here's, I'm going to need this amount of money, and this is how I'm going to, you know. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Let's take a look, you know, because we budget. We think of our little company as a corporate. In October, we're doing our budgeting. Okay, what do we have to do? And that's how you have to see yourself in your company. If you're a small business, you see yourself as a big corporation, not as a small, and this is what I see in this little square. You got to look at the entire picture. So we practice what we preach, bottom line, you know. So if we can sustain our business and become independent, I'm not talking about franchise or anything like that. It was our hard-earned money that we put in, and we've excelled in over 3 years and getting bigger and bigger.
It's amazing, though, right, how much more you pay attention when you're not spending OPM, other people's money,
right,
especially in corporate.
Right,
right. Know?
And
right.
When you said that you all got married and it wasn't for money, you know, and you have a blended family, I have 3 kids and they always ask me, well, how much money do we have?
Right.
I said, I have no idea because I know how much money I have.
Right.
I know how much money you have. My problem is I don't know how much money we have.
Correct.
Correct.
That's the part I don't understand.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
They're like, well, if you had more money, you'd be happier. I go, first of all, money doesn't buy happiness, but it does pay the salaries of a staff to study the problem.
Correct. And so correct.
We can try to figure it out with money. But right. There's a certain amount of freedom, and freedom is in your name.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about Freedom Financial.
Yes.
Tell me about the name.
I'll let you do that because you're the one that he does all the marketing.
So Freedom Financial just actually came up from financial freedom. So that's what we want to lead people to. So one of our main goals is to educate each and every person that walks through our doors, calls us on the phone. I mean, we've actually even picked up a few clients from a wrong number because there's another, like a debt consolidation company here in San Antonio. It's the Financial Freedom Network. Well, they'll Google that, end up calling our office. How, I don't know. But so it's a little play on words, right? Because we want everybody to attain as best as they can their financial freedom, right? But because I didn't want to confuse it and it'd be almost too simple. So I just flipped the words and just made it Freedom Financial because we want people to feel free, you know, with their money, I guess, if that makes sense.
Well, that might be a good idea for you, Mark, since you like Coca-Cola so much. Why don't you start a Cola Coke company and have your own soft drink? Just flip the words around.
There you go.
We'll see if you
don't
get...
Thanks for adding me, Howie.
But yeah, that's pretty much the,
yeah.
The way that
came up. I love it. I love it because there's some familiarity with those words.
Correct. Correct.
Right. People don't know where they heard them, but they say, oh, I've heard of you, right?
Correct.
Even if they never have. Yeah, correct. That's awesome.
And yes. We speak from the heart. You know, we've been in that situation to where, you know, you have $360 in your business account, and how are you going to, you know, get that money coming in? What are we going to do? How are we going to get that done? So we strategize it. There's tons of strategies. And in my thinking, you can make $25,000 a year or $250,000 a year. There's a budget, a plan, a strategy for your business, for your personal life, and blending it all together. And that's where a lot of people feel like they're drowning because they have no way out. And then we just simply paint that picture. You know, we have the canvas for you, and then you just tell us where we can draw the stencil, and then you just paint it once you figure out what you want.
Now, you guys are AFSP certified with the IRS. What is that?
That is an annual certificate that I take every year. So every year we educate ourselves with the upcoming laws. Laws are changing. Things are happening up in the government area. So we take the opportunity to go to Vegas, not just for pleasure, but to actually learn something.
There's a conference.
There's a conference.
You know, they have,
that's kind of ironic.
If you're paying attention, he might be playing a little bit.
He's doing maybe. No, but
there's some irony there, right? If it's a tax seminar and then they have it at a place where gambling is
in Vegas, right. Exactly.
Right, okay. In Vegas. Hey, it's a tax write-off, right?
Yeah.
But that's every year. I have to have 22 credited hours for everything down to ethics, tax laws, and such. One of the reasons why I'm not a CPA is because I definitely just want to do the taxes portion of it. We do have a CPA in-house. Mm-hmm. So if they need to, you know, step in, then we'll obviously consult them and then the taxpayer will pay that. But bottom line is it's an annual filing, and the IRS recognizes our company. If you go to irs.gov and look up ASRL Enterprises, Inc., doing business as Freedom Financial, we are listed there, and then we've had several, right? I would think people come in, they go to the IRS, find us. We ask them, who referred you? Oh, the IRS did. Also, too, with Latino Tax Pro as well, they put us on their website as well. So if you go on our website, you'll see the people who we do business with, and they're there.
So not every tia cuca can file taxes for you, right? Because there's a lot of people here in San Antonio that have a prima or a tia that helps them do their taxes.
Correct.
Don't worry, mijito, I got this.
Right. Right.
But they're not a registered agent of
correct.
The IRS that could actually.
Correct.
And you
correct.
Have this certification
yes.
that says you
it's
can
in
file.
Our office.
Now, tell me, you said that's why you didn't want to be a CPA. So what's the difference between a tax preparer and tax filer and a CPA? What are some of the things that a CPA might do that you all don't do that's a service that you don't offer?
CPAs will charge you $350 an hour. We don't.
So we know the price difference. Okay, got
definitely.
It.
Huge. And they look at it as a higher level, especially with small businesses. what the CPAs want are corporations. They want Citibank, Chase. They want bigger companies, you know, people who are making minimum of $8 or $9 million above. And we only focus on small businesses that are that. So
so you focus on business, not individuals?
We do both.
You do both.
Personal.
But what's an ideal business in terms of revenue, annual revenue? What's an ideal client for you? What would be the revenue of that client?
Anything above $200,000 and above, depending on. There's so many different ways that you can do a tax return: sole proprietor, LLC, S corp, corporation, partnership. We do them all, right? Depending on the revenue that you bring in. So it all depends. There are CPAs that will charge to get you registered, but they're not asking the right questions, in my opinion. We want to know what your vision is. Every 2-3 years, your business is growing. Your lifestyle is growing. It's different. You may be married 1 year and then divorced the next, and then you're back down to the bottom. Been there, done that before, right? You may have a child. It may come twins, you know, or you're opening up a business, but you really don't know how to get that done. So those are the kind of things that we work with. So if it's over $250,000, you're an LLC, then maybe it's time to switch over to an S corp. You're not switching your company to you're electing it.
Right. You're electing it, and it's how you file and how you pass through the. I got that. So we don't want to get too much into the weeds, but people can call you because sounds like you all give advice as well.
We do.
Definitely.
Yeah. We do. So we do have several programs, and one of them is tax advisory. So yes.
Okay. Great. So now this. You don't have to answer if you don't want to, but I know sometimes CPAs and tax preparers are sort of categorized as conservative in terms of the deductions that they encourage their clients to take, and some are pretty liberal with those. Where do you all fall in that spectrum, you know?
So I will just say this, and I'll pass it on to Adele, but we had two CPAs up in Illinois, the gentleman that owned the two Liberty Tax. Then another gentleman who actually was also in law enforcement, but he was a forensic CPA. So we've learned from two gentlemen that I think are really good, very qualified, that they showed us exactly that happy medium. So I would say we're in the middle. Adele might be a little bit more conservative, but I think we're going to find the right deductions for the right company at the right time. Because every year that the IRS sees you, right, it tells a story. We need to make sure that that story makes sense to the IRS. Those two gentlemen also showed us how to avoid audits, how to look for red flags. So, again, that's why I feel like we're at a happy medium because, again, I want to sleep good at night. I want you as a business owner to sleep good at night. And we're not going to do anything that's going to jeopardize your business. But at the same time, we're on your side.
Yeah.
We're not the IRS police, right? We're going to do our best to help you and what's best for your company, if that makes sense.
I like the way you said it, though, because you're telling a story to the IRS.
Correct.
And if something doesn't fit or smell right, it's going to stand out in a story context.
Yep.
Correct.
That's a brilliant way to put that, I think.
And Mark, I don't know if you know this, and I know they have the details on it, but there's a group, like a tax payers representation group that files or creates a mock return with tax preparers, with 100 tax preparers every year for one person. They don't submit it.
Right.
And all 100 are different.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there is no black and white in this business.
Correct.
And even the IRS doesn't understand the hundreds of thousands of pages of tax code.
Correct.
Correct.
If Whataburger can have 37,000 different types of ways you can have your burger, so can taxes. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
So this tax group, right, just to prove to the IRS that their tax laws are way too complicated and convoluted. Yes. They have 100 different preparers prepare one person's tax return.
Nice.
And then they show the results and they see how every single tax preparer prepared it different.
Interesting. And that's how we find out. A lot of our referrals are based with CPAs that are coming in. Our CPA charged me $1,800 for an LLC, but then it should have been an S corp. I mean, I've had to amend tax returns. You know, people have, I mean, we've helped out a few hundred people in our 15 years. Now we're starting to learn we need to get paid for it because we were like Robin Hood, right?
Yeah. It was a lot of free advice at the beginning.
Correct.
Yeah, I call that the you should subcommittee. All the people that tell you what you should do.
There you go.
They're giving you advice. They wouldn't do it, but they're just telling you what you should do. Richard.
Correct.
Correct.
So that's a good segue into, you know, how are tax professionals misleading?
Sure.
folks these days? Who wants to take that?
I think, and I'll just start it off again, but I was going to say, I think that one comes from lack of education on the professional's part. Mm-hmm. We're not afraid to tell you, you know what, we've never done that. You may very well be our first client doing this, but we're going to find out. And again, that's where Adele, with her confidence, you know, we had two CPAs up in Illinois, which we still are in touch with, but they're semi-retired already. But the CPA that we have here in San Antonio, he's been her mentor for how long? How many years?
Over 25 years.
25 years. So, and really, he knows his stuff, right?
So I was like five.
Yeah. So we don't want to bash CPAs.
No.
But is it kind of like, can we say that tax preparers are like nurse practitioners compared to the doctors, which are the CPAs? The doctors and the CPAs went and did a lot of school, but the ones who are really doing the work are the nurse practitioners.
Thank you.
And the preparers.
I would that's a great way to say that. Yep. As a nurse practitioner, I wouldn't say all of ours. I mean, because we're educated. We educate ourselves.
Yep.
And we spend the time to educate, to help others. There are some preparers who don't, and they just, you know, go blind leading the blind.
Well, that's at the Acuca, right? Okay, right. Well, how many kids you have? Three? Okay, let's put 12 dependents just so that you can keep more money.
They're like, mira, look, I have a neighbor who can help you, and they'll give you a child.
And that's not right.
Oh, wow.
That's not right. Oh. And then, of course, even, I mean, we've dealt with families who have like six children. Tax laws have changed in the last 5 or 6 years that, you know what, you're not getting credit for all six. So don't even count on that, you know, and then someone else might tell them wrong. Oh, yeah, use all six. When if you do the math on that 1040, and she's good at this, if you do the math on there, you can point out, because numbers don't lie, that, yeah, look, after number three, you're not getting a dime for these other three. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So, Del, let me ask you, are you using and leveraging, obviously you're leveraging some kind of technology, whether it's QuickBooks Online or anything, but correct. What about artificial intelligence? Is there something there with AI?
I mean, I you're talking Japanese to me, so I use QuickBooks Online. I get certified every year for bookkeeping. I get certified every year for taxes. We use ProSeries, which is part of Intuit. So Intuit is a huge part of our business. We do spend quite a bit for our software and for our things. I really trust that QuickBooks can transfer over into taxes, right? Because you can just a click of a button. If I'm doing your bookkeeping, it's easy. Do the management reporting, and then I can process your return. So that's what we use.
Now let me ask you this. There. Let's say I have a bookkeeper, which I do, Simply Bookkeeping, mm-hmm. but he doesn't file for me, and I've used a CPA in the past.
Yes.
Could I then continue to use my bookkeeper and use you guys for filing?
Most definitely. Because right now, I mean, I'm working with other bookkeepers, and I meet with them 2-3 times out of the year. That's the key. It's not. I don't want to see you once a year. Because that's going to be it's going to be hard on us
everybody.
For both and everybody in this situation. I want to see you at least 3 or 4 times a year, every quarter. I want to take a look at your books. I want to see what's going on. If you're an LLC, and I'll just leave the tip. If you're an LLC and you're paying over $25,000 in taxes, come talk to us because it's not right. Something's wrong. That's where you definitely need to become the S corp, LLC versus S corp. If you're paying tons of taxes, then we need to strategize you.
Well, you talk. So, speaking of LLC, so mm-hmm. When you talk about properly structuring your LLC here in Texas, what does that mean for you guys? What do you mean?
A lot of people just go to the website and then they get an LLC. Properly structuring it is just not getting the piece of paper with the certificate of formation and getting that. No, you have to have an operating agreement. You have to have meaning of your minutes. You have to have at least a president, an owner, a co-owner, and then, of course, some staff. Whether it be the 1099 or W-2, those are the weeds. But you got to structure it that way. Are you getting your EIN number? A lot of people get an EIN on a sole proprietor, which is nothing. Or they'll go to Bexar County and they'll do, you know, tax I mean, lawn
I've heard people say that. Oh, no, I got my business registered already. Yeah. Right. I went downtown and I'm ready. I'm like, there's a lot more than that.
Exactly.
Plus, if you're going to be charging sales tax, you have to go to the state comptroller and they don't even understand. Correct. You said about the minutes, corporate minutes. Correct. But if you don't have annual corporate minutes and somebody sues you, they can pierce your corporate veil then you're personally liable and you don't have the protection of your corporation anymore because you're not running it as a corporation. You're not having minutes.
Correct.
And that's, again, for us, misinformation and lack of education, right? So they walk into our door. So, yeah, we welcome anyone who may even think that, hey, I think I understand what it is. Mm-hmm. But, again, not everything is appropriate for the same LLC, like if Mark had one and then if you had one. We have to make sure that you're using it properly for you.
Yeah. It's like Mike Tyson used to say, everybody has a plan until you get punched in
the
face.
Right.
And you know, I've been a partner in 24 businesses. So I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
Right.
You know, I'm already on the way back.
Nice. Right.
So I know all these things. Like, what do you mean? I didn't know I had to file that.
Right.
I didn't know I had to. And there's new reporting all the time, not only with the IRS. Now there's there's this new corporate identity thing that our attorney Keaton was talking about that you have to file that. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So if the IRS knows you're real.
Franchise taxes. People are confused about that because it can be confusing. Yeah. That road.
Even if you have to put a zero, but you got to file
that
it.
And that has changed, too. So I'm not going to give you details, but come talk to us because the franchise tax has changed.
Yep.
Good to know. All right. So when should a business, if they're already an LLC, when should they think about transitioning to an S-Corp?
When their revenue is over $200,000, when they're paying over $25,000 in taxes.
Okay, so why would you want to transition to an S-Corp?
Why? To save on the taxes. What happens is you extract all the money out of your LLC and you're reporting it to the IRS. Here's my revenue and here are all my expenses. Down the bottom line, it's net profit, say. You receive a K-1 and you take that and process it into your personal. Meanwhile, LLCs is just simply a higher level of Schedule C. One way that a tax preparer can charge you tons of money for that Schedule C, whether it be cost of goods, depending on your business and how it works, Schedule C can do the same thing as the profit and loss on an S-Corp. Yes, it's two different returns. The business return is simply providing information to the IRS that this is what I made, these are my expenses, this is my profit or loss. Most likely profit is what we want. You take that K-1 over, and now that K-1 is structured based on your tax bracket. Remember, there are 7 tax brackets. Where do you fall? With the 1099, with the LLC, that's automatically 30%.
Yeah, it's a higher corporate tax
rate.
Whereas if
and
you pass
penalized.
It through to the owner's tax bracket, then you pay. It's the same amount of profit. But instead of your company paying it, you're paying it correct at your level.
Correct. And the next one is, too, if something, God forbid, happened to your business, you're only doing one tax return, guess what? Your home is now affected if someone decides to sue you, regardless if you have the general liability. A lot of businesses don't have that general liability to where if you were to get sued.
Yeah, that's the whole idea but about having your company have its own identity.
Correct.
It's viewed upon as a person.
Right.
And they can't sue you personally
because
they did business with your company.
Correct. Here, your residential home is safe. Your personal banking accounts are safe. A lot of people are commingling. They take money, right? They take it out of the
Especially
personal.
Entrepreneurs.
Right.
Yeah.
They're constantly.
No, I mean, that's always good. Just pay for it.
I know, right? Let me just tell you, Cash App me. Right. Cash App goes to your personal. It doesn't, business accounts will not accept a Cash App. So now you got to put some money in there. Now you're commingling. So that's what I mean by structuring. That's what I mean by educating. Yeah. A lot of people aren't, that's where you need a professional. We get the job right the first time.
The first time. And what she likes to do is grow with someone. So once again, take them from that initial stage. Mm-hmm. Right, where you enlighten them a little bit about, wow, I did not know that. So then they're interested in a way, and they're piqued as far as, what else do you know? What else can you share with me? And we're like, well, look, it's a process and it's steps. And we'll hold your hand through every step that you need.
Why did you all decide to open up an independent business
right.
versus a franchise? If you guys had experience with Liberty Tax, I'm sure right. you had an yep. opportunity yep. to either buy their business yep. or yep. open up your own yeah. branch down
I'll,
here.
I'll take that one if you okay. don't mind.
Go ahead.
So
I'm only looking at him so I can right. look more handsome in the camera than okay. I'm not supposed to look at because Mark told me not
exactly,
to look
at. Exactly, right. I'm trying really hard not to look at myself right now. But the reason why we collaborated together not to do a franchise, one franchise minimum is like, what, $100,000 maybe, a good one. Here we wanted, he is used to be a stockbroker. That's how what I met him in Citibank. He has his licenses, and a lot of times I would process tax returns, get with your financial advisor. If I'm going to suggest either open up a traditional IRA to help you with your taxes, or if I'm going to ask you to do something, then in the next couple of months, talk to them. With, just like a doctor, they look at your x-rays. The W-2 is my x-ray. So I'm looking at the other boxes that you pay within your company, and that those are my key indicators to where I can switch over to Rich, and I will, hey, you have a 401k, and I look at their age. They're 59 and a half. Guess what? You need to speak with my husband. He can help you take that. You can take an early distribution, roll that over, tax. As long as you're rolling it over, he can do all of that. So I process over. So we want to have one-stop shop. If you need a notary, I'm it. You need somebody to roll your money, that's him. You need some health insurance, that's Richard. You need some life insurance, that's Richard. We want to keep it all in-house. There's some advantages and disadvantages with the independent. Independent, nobody knows who you are. You have to build that trust and credibility. And that's what we've been doing for the past 3.5 years. We're growing every single year as we continue to do this business and grow. Now that we're doing it full time, we've grown, tremendously. And we're just now needing more help. We can no longer do it. We have a part-timer who's like 25 to 30 hours. I want to get another person in. That's where the virtual
yes.
comes in. Which,
and by the way, there's a lot of virtual assistants yes. from the Philippines that yes. specialize in financial stuff.
I heard something about that.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. Your buddy, do you know someone who might?
I may have a referral time. For you.
Your buddy from,
yep. Yeah, he's his yes. whole staff.
He has all virtual.
Not all of them, but he has one local, but it's all out of the Philippines.
Yes, exactly.
Excellent.
Again,
I'm taking that as a referral for my people.
That's right.
We already talked about it.
Yes.
I'm sending a text.
But I mean, that is the one reason why we are becoming, because we want to control that. I'm already control freak, and put us together, it's even more.
Yeah, I resemble that remark.
Yep.
You know, because I've been in business with my ad agency for 30 years, and I'm still a control freak. Not that I micromanage everything,
right?
But I like to work on my business, but like we talked earlier, I like to be in the weeds also
because
I know it and I want to be there and I want to make sure it's the right thing for the clients.
Yep. Correct.
Exactly.
Right.
I'll just make one final comment on that. Other than Adele, saying, that $100,000 we could put into a franchise, we use it ourselves, right? And that made perfect sense to me. The other thing was that one of our CPAs, a gentleman who owned the 2 Liberty Tax, he allowed me, again, to read all the franchise books and all that. And I told Adele, I don't know, this might not be right for us. The second thing is, the year before Liberty Tax came out with this program, it was to put a licensed agent in every Liberty Tax office for exactly what Adele just talked about, which is if they needed an IRA, we have someone in-house, right? Well, guess what? We were already doing it.
Correct.
Yeah, so you lost that revenue, right?
Exactly.
Or a big piece of it.
Exactly.
And the other thing is, I'm sure in the fine print, they own the clients.
Thank you.
And then you have a non-compete, and correct. If you decide to go start your own, guess what?
Thank you.
They own the book of business, and they can absorb it and sell the franchise to somebody
else. So that's why, thank you, Howie, for that. Because, that's why we decided, not the best thing for us. We can do it. We'll do it ourselves.
Yeah. So let's talk about. You have a great name as a financial advisor, Rich.
Rich, thank you.
I want a Rich. I don't want a poor financial
advisor.
Not Rich, advisor.
Rich, but. Right.
Yeah. That's right.
So, people are going to get lower returns on their taxes this next year. This is what I'm hearing. Yes. Why would that be?
Perfect example.
Explain get lower returns on their taxes. They're going to pay less taxes or they're going to pay more taxes?
So
you're going to get less on a return, pay more taxes.
Correct.
On a refund.
So a lot of refunds, people who normally get refunds are getting lower refunds. People who pay taxes are paying more of their taxes. If I talk doctor term in tax language, let me know. But bottom line, it's I'll take the child tax credit. Child tax credit was a dollar for dollar refund, refundable credit, meaning that if you had three children, it's $6,000 at the bottom of your tax return. It automatically would be a refund to you. And this particular year coming for 2023 and going forward until laws change again, the tax credit, child tax credit, pays off your taxable liability. So you have your taxable income, say $61,000, you have to pay $4,300. That child tax credit pays off the $43,000 and you get the difference down in the bottom, dollar for dollar, the difference. That's what's causing the low. That's what's causing people to work a second job or Conchita doing an extra form of a 1099 so they can get the earned income credit. And then you're getting back what you put in taxes. So if you owe $6,100 in taxes, you have three children, you're only going to owe $192. So everything you put in on your W-2, it gets refunded. You may have earned income credit or may not, because then it all depends on the dollar amount on the taxable. Then you have a LLC, forget it. You lose it all, and then you're paying more. So that's just one. Then you have other income, additional income, right? You also have the alimony, the certain things that you're paying different. What also is happening, too, is the people who had Medicaid at one time, they restructured that. Now a lot of people are in the health marketplace, and they did not know that. So what happens? Their income for the marketplace is between $30,000 and $40,000.
Yep.
Then what happens? You're making $50,000 a year. So now you got to pay all that back. And people didn't realize that. Well, wait a minute. I was on Medicaid. I didn't put myself in marketplace. No, they did it. The government did. And you're not educated. That's what's happening.
Yikes.
So you have some people who are like, great, I'm getting like the most I've seen this year is $10,000 on a refund. Prior to years, you were getting $12,000, $13,000, $15,000, $16,000 in refunds because of your children. And again, you look at the stimulus. I mean, I can go on and on and on, right? The stimulus, we have to pay that back, guys. When people were waiting in lines to buy the Michael Kors purse, that we have to pay that back. Everyone received $1,400. Even your little baby at 1 year old received $1,400. So we have to pay that back. Who's going to pay it?
Taxpayers.
Taxpayers.
Is it still that about half of the adult population in the United States actually pays income tax and half doesn't? That was a stat from a while back.
You know, that it, I would say that there's, with this particular year, it's going to be a little bit more. We're going to be paying more taxes than
more people will be paying more.
More people will be paying more taxes.
Are they lowering the threshold too, that even if you make less money,
the taxable income has for earned income credit has reduced as well.
Yep. So they're making all those adjustments, which is kind of hard to foresee, right? Because we don't work there for the IRS. My thing is this, well, it's our thing. It's we try to be proactive rather than reactive.
Correct.
A lot of times, of course, we can't help but be reactive because, again, we don't know exactly what IRS implemented. But once we start seeing those returns come in, now we're like, oh, okay, we see what they're doing. So it's a matter for us to be able to use a, for lack of a better word, manipulate what we do to coincide with what the IRS is doing. Adjust.
I like the word adjust.
Thank you.
Adjust, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Adjust.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. We'll adjust it.
The pivot.
And pivot.
That seems to be a popular.
Even better. Even better.
Business
friend. Let's pivot. Pivot.
Yeah, so. But right. Yeah, so we try to be as proactive as possible with everything that we do, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Right. So I don't know that this is a question, but you know, I know a lot of people. Mark's interviewed a ton of people, but I know probably 10,000 people on a first name basis.
Nice.
You all come across as being knowledgeable, genuine, kind-hearted, and is, you know, was that something that originally attracted to you, each other, to you all to each other, and has it been a benefit in terms of working together and building that trust with clients and those kinds of things?
It has.
Absolutely. 100%.
I have a suspicion that so you pursued her and it wasn't easy. Am I right or wrong?
I'm afraid in this one, you'd be wrong.
Really?
So I know.
I was the one that went
you
to
pursued?
Him.
You pursued?
I pursued. Why? He had no idea.
Why?
You know, no, it was the smile. It was the smile. It was the charisma. Yeah. It was the the interaction. You know, we both.
I made her feel special.
There you go.
Yeah. Right.
That's a good marriage.
And I didn't have that. I mean, we married young the first time. I did not have that.
Yeah.
And I just. And I knew that it was going to be long term.
Yeah.
So he didn't know that at the time.
No,
but
I did
the one.
Yeah.
I'm the one that pursued it because I wanted the next marriage. And I wasn't even thinking at that time. I just wanted the next relationship. Mm-hmm. I was going to control it. I was going to. And I'll tell you a little short story. When I was 9 years old, I told my mom because I've always wanted to be an accountant. I had my change. And I'd count it. My mom would say I'd count it like 3 or 4 times a day.
Wow.
So 1 year, I just told her, Mom, when I grow up, I'm going to be an accountant. I'm going to be the mayor of San Antonio. And my last name's going to be Rodriguez. Bottom line.
Wait, are you running for mayor?
And the last part was, and I'm going to tell him what to do
all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so far, she's lived up to about three out of those four.
Yeah. I'm not mayor.
We're not mayor yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Us guys, we like direction. Sure. You know what I mean? It's just
the less I have to think. Exactly.
A week and a half ago, I went to see Seinfeld perform at the Majestic.
Oh, excellent.
And the funniest thing he said is that he's been married for 24 years, so he's an expert at it.
Right.
He said, I don't even have thoughts that are in any way contrary to what my wife wants to do.
That's right.
That's how I know I became an expert.
That's right.
He says, I don't even have to understand and know myself as to what I'm deficient in. All I have to do is overhear a conversation that my wife has with her friend to know what I'm dropping the ball on. Oh, my God. And you're not going to believe this. Jerry last night left all the food at the table, didn't bother to clean the dishes.
Right.
So he goes, I don't even need to know what mood I'm in because she'll say, he woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Right. So.
And that's it.
Right. He's an expert. So you're just kind of, whatever Adele says,
that's it.
That's going to be your mood.
There's some
you'll know what
to
you're deficient in.
But we hold each other accountable.
We do.
That's the one thing. You know, personal is personal, business is business. Yep. And, you know.
So this is great. Let's get into this, but the husband and wife business part of it.
Okay.
Because I'm a husband and wife business. Yep. I've been married 35 years to the same woman. We got to say that these days.
Excellent.
Especially when you're a cop and they've been married 3, 4, 5 times, right? But so how do you draw the boundaries on, because my wife and I, we'll sit down. I want to start watching TV. It's the end of the day, and now she wants to start talking about numbers, right? Or talk about something.
Right.
And I'm like, I just don't. How do you draw those boundaries and keep them?
I know that we meet once a week for lunch, and we talk about business, and then we'll have a date night, and that's personal.
Yep.
Second is, and he's the one that taught me. One time we were opening up the office, it was in 2020, I remember, and he just upset me. We were moving in, and then he immediately wanted to purchase the next suite that was empty. I'm like, wait a minute, killer. We haven't even made profit, and then we don't have money for that. You got to let's help move
the dreamer,
you know, the dreamer, right? And so we got into a little
the visionary,
you know, fight, you know, like a debate, you know, or dispute,
which you won,
right? Which I won, but we were upset. I was upset, but like, you know, here we are moving, and then you're already wanting to spend money we don't even have.
Yeah.
So then everybody's leaving. He's like, "What do you want to eat?" I don't want to talk to you. Not until we go. And he's like, "Hey, wait a minute. You have to understand, business is business. I'm done and over with that. And I'm asking you to go to lunch with me as my wife, not as my business partner."
Wow.
And then we go from there.
Yeah. Nice. And how did you respond to that?
I was like, when I do have, you know, moments like, what? He's telling me what to do?
Yeah. Hey, sometimes it's nice to be in the passenger seat. I enjoy it.
Sometimes.
My kids are like, you know what? You all decide where we're going.
Correct.
You know what?
Yeah.
Correct. Exactly.
I'm good to go.
And he does that. You know, my sisters always make fun of me. She's like, "Yeah, already let him." I mean, because we share everything. You know, we have everything we do, we share. Yeah. And so my family, I have a big family. We go to a restaurant. Is Rich going to have his own plate today? Or are you going to?
Sorry, I'm not taking any questions right now. We'll let you know when we get there.
Exactly. But kind of like Seinfeld, I guess you were saying, right? I guess I've learned, right? I've paid attention to where she might have a craving for something. She'll want her own plate, but she'll have a craving for something else that she just wants to taste. So guess what I do? I oblige. Mm-hmm. I get that second plate because, again, I love food. Doesn't matter to me. I'm not picky. I'll eat whatever.
But you are picky. You pick it up and put it in your mouth.
Exactly. But if she wants to taste it, I'm like, fine, order those two, right? And then now, guess what? We're both happy, right? Yeah. She gets what she wants. I got what I want.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But, so if you're not talking about your business on a date that's specifically for business, I encourage people who do that.
You have to be intentional.
Okay. Well, I need some coaching on that because I don't separate business from anything. You know, I'm always on my phones and all that stuff. But I've been self-unemployed for 30 years, you know? And for me, when people's like, once I get home, I put my phone down. I don't touch. I'm like, what the heck? I have two phones. I'm like, I get stressed out if I don't have my phone. Like I'll go out and I'm at the beach and I'm reading and I'm listening to my, yacht rock or whatever.
Right.
And then, but Chinga, there are my phones just in case, you know.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So do you guys like shut it down at 6 or 7 o'clock or do you guys just kind of keep going?
It's like when we leave the office. I think we've both reached that point to where we leave the office. That's when we shut it off.
Right.
So if we're at the office one day till 9 p.m., we're on. We're like Howie. It's nonstop. 9 o'clock, okay, and then it happens to be 9:15. Okay, that's when we walk out. That's it.
Now maybe that's what my wife and I need to do. We need to get an office up here, come to work, and that we're not allowed to do it at home.
Right.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? It's just we end up leave work at work.
Yep. Right.
That might be actually healthy for us.
I think so.
Yes.
I think it would
be. I agree 100%. Yeah. We left the office yesterday like at 7, and we just vegged out.
Okay. So let's say, and I'll ask either one of you. Let's say you have a crazy entrepreneur that's a client like Howie. And on December 14th at 6 p.m.
Sure.
Is like, oh, shit, I need to submit something. I forgot and whatever. And I have a quick question for Adele or Rich. And I'm like, hey, I text you all because we're friends now. We know we hang out.
Right.
We've been to the Let's Talk Business mega mixer together.
Right. Right.
And then I'm like, hey, real quick, is there any way that you could send me the code to the vault so I can download my whatever K1?
In that situation, yes. But if you're just a new client calling me at 6 o'clock
for free advice,
no.
But we will pick up the phone and we will answer you.
Okay. Yeah, because I have clients call me on Saturdays and Sundays. They're like, hey, Howie, I'm sorry to bother you, but the thing is that my web and my email and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I tell my employees, the highest paid ones, I go, hey, sorry to bother you on a Saturday, but we have a client asking for this.
Exactly.
And they'll log in to the server. They'll send it to me. I'll send it to the client. It's not a big deal.
Right. I think more our individual tax people, and I guess married couples who don't have a business, they understand the Monday through Friday because that mirrors their life. Business people, like you said, we're on all the time, right? So we have to be able to answer those people Saturdays and Sundays because they're working and they're thinking about their business as are we. So of course we do it.
Yeah.
That's how we roll.
I was on a podcast as a guest with a guy that owned the Twin Towers at the time they were hit.
Wow.
He got, don't quote me on this, I want to say $4.5 billion or $3.5 billion in insurance money.
Yes.
And then he's the one that rebuilt the 9/11 memorial and all that. And people asked him, they're like, and he was on this podcast.
Sure.
He goes, you're 90 years old.
Right.
Like, why would you rebuild that and do that?
Wow.
And he says, that's what I do. And he still goes to the office.
Right. Exactly.
And he has an office that could see over the hallowed ground, which is 9/11. And he said that.
Very nice.
Puts on a suit and he goes to work and he was 90 years old at the time
sense
of the podcast.
Purpose.
But that's something awesome. About right. says something about entrepreneurs, right? If
correct.
You're going to be a sole business owner, you just know, man, that's part of your identity.
That's what you do. Yep.
So
you
just, for us, we just want to educate people. So if you succeed, if your company succeeds, we succeed with you. We grow with you. I don't want quantity. I want quality because that quality is going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And then the referrals are going to come from that.
Yep.
So I'm not just going to take your business just for your money. I'm going to educate you along the way.
Yeah.
And speaking of education, so what do you guys, I know you're here at the podcast, and I know you're going to be doing more stuff going forward.
Yes.
What's the plan there on the education part? Where can people go and get educated on what you guys are doing?
It's going to happen after tax season, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right now, we're just so pressed for time that normally January through April, we do not. But we actually have classes, different classes that we can offer that we actually do put up on our website that talks about very basic, tax returns versus the LLC, S-Corp, and C-Corp classes for the more advanced.
Mm-hmm.
Adele actually even teaches in the fall for tax preparers. So through that Latino Tax Pro that she's involved with, she teaches other tax preparers how to prepare taxes, right? And they don't have to work with us, which a couple of ladies don't, right? But they, I love the way she teaches, right? Because she knows her stuff. So she can explain certain situations that they've been through. I do different types of classes, but yeah, we do anything from budgeting, like budgeting 101 for like college kids. I actually did a financial literacy at a Jubilee Westwood campus off of 151 and Penn Road. And again, that's for middle schoolers. So we do all ages, but I was able to do that day to show them just a little bit about compound interest and the rule of 72. So we have different things going on throughout the year that we can reach almost every age group, even the seniors who are 65, turn 65 for Medicare, mm-hmm. and how their budget's going to look right before pre-retirement.
There's such a lack of financial literacy in mm-hmm. this country, and that I don't know correct. If it's globally, but right. it's amazing how little people know. And some people are college graduates, and they right. don't have good financial literacy, and they take out credit cards with right. crazy interest. They get into debt, right. into problems. And at some point, you got to pay the piper.
Correct.
Correct.
Correct. Absolutely. It's a big problem.
And what can we do to help you with that?
Right.
Sounds like a calling.
We have four girls, and all Thank of you. Them own their own home. All of them have a budget. All of them are able to, they financially sustain themselves with, you know, their partners that they have with. So it's just amazing, you know.
And that's rare these days.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. one of our daughters, the third one, she's single, but she has her house, car, money in the bank, savings, building. Now she wants to do a food truck for the summer. She's a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, we have one that's wants to be a trust fund baby, and the other two are working in yeah. Austin and
the other two are like in between, yeah.
Right. Yeah. But it needs to start in the home. You have to lead as an example. If you're yeah. not practicing what you preach, then you're not going to be, in my opinion, you're not going to be successful or build that trust and credibility.
Love it. All right. If folks want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Very simple. Our phone number to the office. Of course, we always carry ourselves, but 210-908-9955 or www.ff-tsg.com. You can also, there's a contact page on there. You can even email us, and we get those emails, you know, straight to us.
And our office is a cell phone, so it's with us yep. at all times.
Yep.
Love it.
On the weekends, nights and weekends.
All right. Great job, guys.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
You coming in.
Of course.
All right. As we wrap up the show, quick reminder, check out our latest podcast. Catch video versions of the show anytime by visiting our website at satalkradio.com. That's nice. Going to be it for this one. And we'll see you on the next one. Have a great week, everybody.
Awesome.